Let's read together Isaiah chapter 14, verses 1 through 23. In this first half of Isaiah chapter 14, we have the continuation of the Lord's denunciation of Babylon. We also have a description of the fall of Satan, who is the evil power behind the Empire of Babylon and its king. Isaiah chapter 14, let's begin by reading the first three verses. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will still choose Israel and settle them in their own land. The strangers will be joined with them, and they will cling to the house of Jacob. Then people will take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel will possess them for servants and maids in the land of the Lord. They will take them captive, whose captives they were, and rule over their oppressors. It shall come to pass in the day the Lord gives you rest from your sorrow and from your fear and the hard bondage in which you were made to serve, that you will take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. Let's begin our study of this first half of Isaiah chapter 14 with some background notes. We saw in chapter 13 that God's judgment of Babylon was both historical and eschatological. That is, there was a time already in history when Isaiah's prophecy of God's judgment on Babylon was partially fulfilled. The Babylonian Empire no longer exists. We also saw in Isaiah chapter 13 that there is an eschatological day of the Lord for Babylon. That is the Babylon of the end times that we read about in Revelation chapters 17 and 18 will be judged and destroyed in the future. Now here in the first three verses of Isaiah chapter 14, both the historical and eschatological aspects of God's judgment on Babylon, as well as God's blessing on Israel, are in view. As predicted in verse 1, when the Jews returned to their homeland after the fall of Babylon, under the edict of Cyrus in 538 BC, a number of foreign proselytes from Babylon went along as well. Thus, the historical fulfillment of verse 1. And when Israel will be restored in the future and will be at rest in her own land, in the earthly kingdom that our Lord will set up when he returns and judges the end time Babylon, at that time, Gentiles will share in the blessings of that kingdom as well. So here in the first three verses of Isaiah chapter 14, both the historical and eschatological judgment of Babylon and blessing of Israel are in view. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Isaiah chapter 14. So doctrinal point number one, the prophecy against the king of Babylon foreshadows the fall of Babylon in the future. The prophecy against the king of Babylon foreshadows the fall of Babylon in the future. Verses 4 through 11. And you will take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how the oppressor has ceased, the golden city ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers. He who struck the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he who ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and no one hinders. The whole earth is at rest and quiet. They break forth into singing. Indeed, the cypress trees rejoice over you, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you were cut down, no woodsman has come up against us. Hell or Sheol from beneath is excited about you, to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. They all shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments. The maggot is spread under you, and worms cover you. In verses 4 through 21 of Isaiah 14, we have a taunt song against the king of Babylon. You know what that is? In the world of sports, for example, there are taunt songs that fans will sing after their team gains a victory over the opposition, especially if it's an upset. Well, here we have a taunt song sung by God's people in reference to the defeat of the king of Babylon. Now, who are God's people here? Israel, not the church. That's the context. The you of verse 4 and throughout the chapter are the Jewish people. The church is not the new Israel and does not replace Israel as God's chosen people. Christians are never referred to as descendants of Jacob, verse 1. Israel is Israel throughout the Bible. Now, when will the Jewish people sing this taunt song? Here again, we have both the historical aspect and the eschatological aspect to the song. Certainly, the Jewish captives in Babylon rejoiced with the victory of the Medes and the Persians over Babylon, especially when Cyrus, the Persian emperor, issued his famous edict that allowed the Jewish captives to return home to Jerusalem. At that time, God certainly, verses 5 and 6 of this chapter, the Lord had certainly broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers. He, that is Babylon, who struck the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he who ruled the nations in anger, was taken down. But notice how the taunt song looks to the far future. In verse 7, when the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. That certainly has not happened yet. But it will happen. It will happen in the future when the Babylon of the end times will be defeated by the Lord himself, and restored Israel will sing in triumph. Read Revelation chapter 18 in this connection. And the taunt song, if you will, that begins in verse 20 of that chapter. Notice how descriptive the figurative language is of this taunt song here in verses 8 through 11 of Isaiah chapter 14. Even the trees rejoice with the victory over Babylon. And the kings already in Sheol, that is the realm of departed spirits, rise up from their thrones, as it were, to welcome the mighty king of Babylon, who along with his pomp and luxurious lifestyle has been brought down to a bed of maggots. So the prophecy against the king of Babylon foreshadows the fall of Babylon in the future. Doctrinal point number 2. The prophecy against the king of Babylon reveals the fall of Satan in the past. The prophecy against the king of Babylon reveals the fall of Satan in the past. Verses 12 through 23. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house. But you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit, like a corpse trodden underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land and slain your people. The brood of evildoers shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children, because of the iniquity of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and offspring and posterity, says the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the porcupine and marshes of muddy water. I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. Now, in some of these verses, we believe the taunt song goes beyond the literal king of Babylon and describes the evil source of power behind pagan Babylon, namely Satan himself. For example, here in verses 12 through 14, there are some things said here that seem like they could never be said of any literal king of Babylon, but only said about Satan. Notice that before his fall, Satan was called the star of the morning, or Lucifer from the Latin Vulgate. Satan, in his pride, determined to exalt himself above all other created beings and claim power and authority that belong to the Most High alone. We see that Satan stated his five I wills sometime in the past. And notice from verse 12 that his fall from his former position of glory and power in heaven has already taken place. However, we see from verse 15 that his final consignment to eternal punishment has not yet taken place. We learn in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10 that Satan will be consigned forever to the lake of fire and eternal punishment. Now in verse 16, we return to the literal kings of Babylon. And once again, it seems that there is an historical aspect as well as an eschatological aspect to the prophecy. The time of the mighty Babylonian kings who conquered nations and overthrew cities and imprisoned peoples was brought to an end. There is no more Babylonian empire. On the very night that Babylon was taken over by the Medes and the Persians, King Belshazzar was slain. He was not given an honorable burial. No descendant of his took the throne, as we mentioned in our comments on chapter 13. The city of Babylon and its ruins became a place of swamps and wild animals. Now, as to the eschatological aspect of this portion of the Taunt Song, we read in Revelation chapter 16 that associated with the end-time Babylon, there will be a notorious world ruler known as the Beast. We read in Revelation chapter 19 that this evil man will be thrown alive into the lake of fire. As these final verses of the Taunt Song indicate, there will be no honorable burial for this evil ruler of the end times. So we've seen in this Taunt Song that the literal rulers of Babylon are in view, but it goes beyond the human rulers to the satanic power source behind them. The prophecy against the king of Babylon reveals the fall of Satan in the past. Now, what about practical application from the first half of Isaiah chapter 14? Watch out for pride. Watch out for pride. This is an obvious application from this portion of the chapter. When we consider what led to Satan's downfall, I will become like the Most High. Now, we must not only be aware that we are vulnerable to pride, but others are as well. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 7, we read that a potential elder in the church should not be recognized if he is a new convert. Why? Lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil, namely pride. The lesson is obvious for all of us. Watch out for pride.